Please join me now and turn to Psalm 4. You'll find it on 741 in your hymnal, that we might address this reading from the Hebrew Bible as a responsive prayer. Psalm 4, 741. Answer me when I call, O God of my right.
You have given me room
when I was in distress.
Be gracious to me and hear my prayer.
How long, O people, shall my honor suffer shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the righteous as God's own. The Lord hears when I call. Be angry, but do not sin. Commune with your own hearts in your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, oh, that we might see some good. Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me lie down in safety.
A reading this morning from the Hebrew Bible is found on page 667 of your pew Bible, if you'd like to follow along. And the writings from Jeremiah, beginning with verse 18. My joy is gone. Grief is upon me. My heart is sick. Hark, the cry of my poor people from far and wide in the land. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king not in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their images, with their foreign idols? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of my people, my poor people, I am hurt. I mourn, and dismay has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then has the health of my poor people not been restored? Oh, that my head were a spring of water, and my eyes a fountain of tears, so that I might weep day and night for the slain of my poor people. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson today comes from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. It can be found on page 196 in your New Testament. Hear these words. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. For there is one God, and there is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. The word of God for the people of God.
We continue in the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke, Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. You'll find it in your pew Bible in the New Testament on page 74. So I encourage you to follow along if you'd like to. Hear these words. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, "What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer." Then the manager said to himself, "What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes." So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, "How much do you owe my master?" He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil." He said to him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, and how much do you owe?" He said to him, 100 containers of wheat." He said to him, "Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. "For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in very little is faithful also in much. And whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As I share with you some observations, might be a good time to pull out your bulletin and just gaze at the image on the front there. This passage from Luke that I just read is one of those Bible lessons that always causes me to scratch my head. At first read, I'm not exactly sure what it means and exactly what God would have us learn from it. But because I am a dutiful United Methodist, I am convinced that this is exactly what God intends for us. I think we are supposed to wrestle with our understanding of Scripture. The more we think about it and the more we try to understand it, the better. As I was reading this over and over this week, I got hooked on the very last verse. "No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." Well, many months ago when I picked this sermon title, I didn't have a full understanding of what I would say to you today. In fact, I usually wait until that very same week before I listen carefully to what God would have us hear from this Bible passage. And so this week, as I'm trying to figure out what to say and as I'm looking through the internet, I came upon this image on the front of your bulletin. And this got me thinking in absolutely new ways about this last verse from Luke. This gentleman that you see there on your cover has two shadows emanating from his feet. One is the dollar sign, and one, obviously, is the cross of Jesus Christ. And this duality is exactly what Jesus is saying as he challenges his audience in Luke. A person cannot serve two masters. You serve one or the other. There's no middle ground. You either serve wealth or you serve God. Period. Now, obviously, Jesus is addressing his audience in the first century, in this case, the 12 apostles. But just as surely, Jesus is addressing each of us in this passage as we hear it in 2010. So I pose to you a question very directly. When the bright light of God's mercy and grace shines upon you, which way will your shadow fall? Will your shadow fall toward the dollar sign? Or will your shadow fall toward the cross of Christ? What is truly in your heart? Which master do you serve? Now, in my own wrestling with this passage, as is often the case, I come up with more questions than I find answers. A traditional preacher might look at this passage and as the perfect lesson on stewardship. My sisters and brothers, Jesus is telling you that you must make a choice between money and God. If you really serve God as your master, then you will surely give your money to God's church. Cut and dried, end of story. You know, part of me wishes that it really was that simple. Now, surely, I pray that more of you will give more of your money to our church in the coming year. We are, after all, a human institution. This is the only way that we can continue to provide ministry to God's people. More money is the key to taking proper care of our church building and its grounds, to paying our staff like Don and Peggy, and to expanding our efforts at making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. It is that simple. Just like most of the other churches in today's society, we need more of your money. Having said that, I recognize that Jesus is saying much more than this. Just as a shadow can move around a person as the source of light moves, perhaps it is not simply a question of either or. Maybe it is a question of yes and. Now, while it is absolutely true, if you read the good book, it's absolutely true that Jesus told his disciples that they are to give up all of their worldly possessions in order to follow him. Take up your cross and follow me. Those were Jesus' words. I wonder if Jesus is really, truly calling each of us to do exactly that same thing. I have a hard time believing that God wants each of us to walk away from our homes, to walk away from our families, to leave those we love in a lurch. But on the other hand, it may truly be this kind of foundational dichotomy. It may truly be a question of either or. Anything that distracts you from your focus on God, anything that distracts you from your focus on God can become an idol and therefore a sin. Any distraction. And in our society, all of the advertising around us would have us believe that we are not complete people unless we have the newest, the latest, the brightest thing. Ours is a consumer society driven by stuff. You got to have stuff. And if you didn't know better, when you watch TV or if you surf the internet, you could easily conclude that the most important elements of our society are money and sex. That's what's most important to us, money and sex. Much about our modern society would have you believe that we are a people who are self-absorbed, self-focused, and selfish. But maybe it truly is a question of your priorities. Perhaps as long as your top priority is serving God and God's people, like the poor and the hungry, maybe the rest of your concerns are also important too. And so as you look again at this image and consider the words of our Lord, I ask you the same question. When the bright light of God's mercy and grace shines upon you, which way will your shadow fall? Will it fall toward the dollar sign? Or will your shadow fall toward the cross of Christ? What truly is in your heart? Which master do you serve? My sisters and brothers, each of us needs to wrestle with the Word of God. Shalom. Amen.